Finger and hit those touch screens as Backtime takes a look at those election firsts that happened November 7th. 1973, New Jersey became the first state to allow girls to play Little League Baseball. In 1989, L. Douglas Wilder was elected as governor of Virginia, becoming the first African-American governor in U.S. history. And in the year 2000, Hillary Rodham Clinton became the first president's wife elected to public office in winning her New York Senate race. That's back time for November 7th. This is your announcer speaking.
It's Vinnie Penn with a special post-election 760, the past 7 days in 60 seconds. Barack Obama became the country's 44th president in a landslide victory. McCain, this week's Cloris Leachman, consoled himself with a shot of Metamucil, a liver and onions early bird, and calling it a night at 5:30. Obama's beloved grandmother passed away just one day before her grandson's historic victory. Good thing, because if she saw that horrible dress Michelle was wearing, it would have killed her. Obama promised his daughters they'd get a dog when they move into the White House, so I guess that means Bill Clinton will be named to his cabinet. Sarah Palin, undeterred, says she will move forward and plans to become the first woman president. Then she bought some new thigh-high boots and deleted John McCain from her BlackBerry. And the idiot of the week, you, if you didn't vote. This country waits in longer lines when new breakfast sandwiches are introduced at Dunkin' Donuts. I'm Vinnie Penn, and that was your 760.
And now, from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
And right here on LA Talk Radio, welcome to Friday, November 7th.
What was
you
that?
Know, that's like, I don't know, I suddenly felt like talking to these radio guys, you know, like, good morning.
And good morning, yes. World, it's Sam and Susie in the Morning.
We're so anti that, you know.
I know, right?
Yeah. So are you more awake this morning?
I'm a little bit awake. I actually passed out probably at like 10:45 last night, but I had a really, really long and exciting and fun day.
Really?
But I'm not as hungover as I was yesterday.
Well, good. I'm glad to see that.
Thank you.
You look totally different from yesterday. I mean, you were just pretty much melting into your chair.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. But I figured, I found out the best cure for a hangover is going out to play with a 2-year-old.
Oh, yeah? That sobers you up pretty quick?
Oh, my gosh. I had so much fun yesterday with my little man. You don't
really?
Even know. Yes. So I picked him up and I gave him a couple options for the day. And I was like, well, do you want to go to Malibu and we can go on a play date with your other friends? Or we can stay around the house and, you know, just be really creative and like do some arts and crafts. Mm-hmm. Like, or we can go to Venice and rent a bike with a trailer and I'll throw you in the back and I'll Sherpa you around. We can make a picnic. We can go to the aquarium. And he's like, let's go to the beach.
Really?
So that's
so
totally,
how old is this kid now?
He's 2.5.
Oh, 2.5.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Right. But so we went and we rented a bicycle with a trailer, so I threw him in the back with the picnic, went riding all along the bike path down
how
to
cool.
Santa Monica,
yeah.
Where I taught him how to climb the rope, you know, the thing that you have to wrap your leg around and, like, climb up.
Uh-huh.
So I showed him how to do that. We were walking on a slack line, which is kind of like a tightrope.
Uh-huh.
Then we went to
A fun nanny you are.
I know. We went to the aquarium where you could pet all the starfish and everything and the sea cucumbers. Uh-huh. And then we went on the carousel. We went on the Ferris wheel.
Wow. You were all over the place. And then aquarium did you go to? Long Beach?
No. Just the little one on the Santa Monica Pier.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's perfect for like a 2 or 3 year old kid. It really is. Yeah. Because you can actually go. They have these touch tanks. Mm-hmm. And I'm just a big kid myself, which is why I'm like, yay, this will be the best day. But you can actually like go and you could pet all the different starfish and the sea cucumbers. And they're all just like squishy or prickly, and you're just like, whoa, that's so cool. And you can watch the sharks get fed. That's one of my favorite parts, too.
Really?
Yeah.
So they actually have an aquarium with a shark? I mean, it's that big?
No. It's a very tiny little aquarium. Yeah. It's more for like educational instruction and things like that.
I don't know why I've never seen it there.
It's right at the end.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Right at the beginning of that ramp that you can go up.
Right.
But it's so super cute there.
Yeah. Wow.
But so that was my day with little Ethan.
Yeah.
And then...
You're definitely a fun nanny.
I really am.
You don't just sit around.
No. Actually, that's the funny thing. Like whenever my... The new jobs that I have, whenever they called like any of my old references, the parents that were referring me were like, hire her now before someone else gets her. Like, you don't understand. Your kids will never have the TV on. And that's mainly because I don't know how to turn TVs on. The technology kind of escapes me. But but they're just like, you know, Susie is just so much fun, and the kids are always going to be out doing something. They're going to be very active.
Yeah. Well, so, you're a great asset to the right family.
Thank you. I consider myself a child care technician, not really a nanny.
A child care technician.
Yes.
I like that.
I came up with that myself.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's a CCT.
Yes, right? Yes.
Yeah,
very good.
So that would be your title.
You know, Suzanne Raleigh, CCT.
Yeah.
I should put that on my business card.
I know, like PhD, CCT.
Yes. And everyone's going to be like, ooh, what's that mean? But they're not going to want to seem stupid, so they won't want to ask.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that'll be too funny.
Yeah, it will. So we're going to have somebody sit in with us. Her name's Erin, and she's going to have a show starting tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a really cool show.
I really liked her when I met her at the party.
Yeah, she's really nice.
Yeah, she really is.
And she's fun and
super smart.
So she'll be here in a little bit. And we've got another new show starting tonight at 9 with Queen Bee and The Hive.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and if you missed their appearance on TJ's show yesterday, you've got to go back and listen. I mean, it's just the most hilarious thing you've ever heard. You know, and you know they're funny because they were here on our show a couple weeks ago.
We were dying laughing with them in the
room. Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
Because they'll say anything, you know.
Yes.
So you definitely want to catch that show tonight at 9, the premiere. And...
Give a little example. Like what you said, she said, put your foot in my pussy.
Yeah, or some. They were talking about putting feet in vaginas, you know. I had just tuned in, you know, so I wasn't really sure about the context of it. But
that might be kind of interesting. I don't know.
Talking, yeah.
You know, I've never thought about that.
Yeah, but she's a whole 250 pounds, man.
Wow.
Yeah. But like you said, she carries it well, you know. I mean,
she definitely does. I mean,
she makes herself look sexy and you know.
Good for her. That's
right. She's very big boobed.
Very, very big boobed. Boobala, boobala, boobala. So I have to apologize to my date from last night, Sam.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. So you were going to go out with Sam who called in yesterday, right?
Yes. Yeah. He was supposed to come and pick me up for dinner. Because actually driving home from the west side back to my house last night, I got stuck in 3 hours worth of traffic because of the riots and the protests.
Yes, they had demonstrations again, right?
Yes.
They're not really riots, but...
I was behind a SWAT, a SWAT wagon, and there were probably about 25 to 30... SWAT people with like the full face mask and the nightsticks and like the mace. And there were probably like 10 of those in a row that were just going off in different locations to kind of do like mob control.
Why? Why?
Because people were getting really, really violent, especially on Santa Monica Avenue right in front of that Mormon church.
Violent?
Well, on opposite sides of the streets, you had the people that were like, you know, they're like, gay marriage is wrong, you know, and then they're running up and down the streets. And on the other side, you had people that were, you know, attacking the church and telling the church to, like, stop imposing their views on our Constitution and when church and state are supposed to be separate. So
you should have known better than to drive through there because the previous night... You had to go right through that.
But that was in Hollywood. This time I was on the west side coming east.
Oh, it's on the west side this time?
They're all over the place.
Really?
It's spreading like wildfire. Yeah, riots and protests.
That's true.
Yeah.
I know. I saw something on the news, but I sort of just, you know, took a glance and I saw demonstrations, and they were interviewing a couple of gay guys and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. You know, I didn't realize it was actually police and SWAT teams.
Yeah, it was getting... I was actually a little bit nervous, and I had, like, the little kid in the car, and I'm just like, oh, shit.
I'm sure. Like, where on the west side was it? On Wilshire Boulevard there?
No, it was right on Santa Monica Boulevard, right in front of that huge Mormon temple.
Oh,
or the Church of Latter-day Saints, whatever that is.
So they chose to do it right in front of the church.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That church is so freaky.
Really?
Yeah. You
haven't
seen it?
What's freaky about it? No.
I don't know. It's just this huge looming structure, like perched way on the top of this hill, and it's surrounded by this huge fence and green lawn, and it just seems like... It doesn't seem very welcoming for a church. Yeah. It seems more...
Oh, is that on Santa Monica Boulevard?
Yeah.
There? Okay, now I know which
one. It seems very threatening and imposing and not very warm and welcoming like a church should feel.
Yeah, I know. Looks like Capitol Hill or something.
Yeah, yeah, it really does.
I know which one you're talking about.
But so things were just going off there, and they had actually shut off or shut down the 405 on and off ramp.
Really?
So you couldn't get onto the 405, not that you would want to anyway, but I mean, traffic was stopped.
Oh, my God.
I actually ended up like kind of yelling at this woman who was behind me at one point because I turned off my engine because that's like, all right, we're not going anywhere.
Oh, wow. It was stopped.
It was stopped completely. And then at one point, I was waiting to turn onto Santa Monica. And so probably about 15 feet opened up in front of me, but like no one was moving anyway.
Yeah.
And so like, why should I turn my car on just to go 15 feet and stop again?
Yeah.
And so this woman in this Range Rover behind me was like, beep, 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 beep. And so finally I was just like, really? 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 Oh, you're really going to do this, lady? Really? So finally, like, she's trying to like wiggle up past the other cars, and she gets up past me, and literally she makes it like 2 feet in front of me before she has to stop. And she's got her window down like right next to me, and I was like, really, ma'am? I was like, what is your hurry? Why did you have to beep your horn? Where do you think you're going? just tell me that, please.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, you could have pulled up. And and I was just like, whatever. I was like, patience, lady.
Yeah.
And then the other guy to my other side started beeping, and he started clapping at me.
You should have just told her, you know, why didn't you pass me?
I know. Seriously, get in front of me.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But so that was pretty interesting. But so anyway, I had called Sam while I was kind of stuck in this traffic, and I was like, listen, dude, I know I'm not getting in my car again as soon as I get this kid home, because it's pretty crazy out there with the traffic, and I do not feel like being stuck in it again. I was like, so if you want to drive through it and come pick me up for dinner, that'd be great. So he had initially said, all right, I don't want to drive through the traffic either, so we're going to cancel dinner. But then come a little bit later in the evening, I was like, no, I'm hungry. You know, I still want to see your smart, cute, funny, smiling face.
Yeah, I could use dinner.
I could use some dinner. So I told him to come on up anyway. So he starts driving up, and I go back to my house, and I decide I'm going to get ready for the evening, and I'm in the shower, you know, whatever. And then my friend Lena came over, and then my roommate Lisa was there, so we all ended up having, like, wine, having a couple drinks. But then all of a sudden, our phone stopped working in a weird way. It was kind of like the Bermuda Triangle.
All of you guys at the same time.
Well, Lisa stopped working first because she was expecting her cousin to come over for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And this was so funny because I was like, really? I was like, who's your cousin? Is he cute? How old is he? And then she was like, well, I think he's like 28 or 29. I was like, really? I was like, that's perfect for me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, is he cute? She's like, oh, yeah, he's gorgeous. He's got like this dark curly hair. And I was like, really? I was like, well, call him and tell him to come over right now. So she tries to call him. Her phone doesn't work. So then, and keep in mind, I'm very drunk at this point.
Right.
So then she's like, Susie, can I borrow your phone?
And you were getting ready for dinner.
I was getting ready for my date.
Right. I see. But yet you wanted this guy to come over.
Why not? The more the merrier.
Okay. I don't know how your date would have appreciated that, but...
Well, you know, I just figured I was going to meet her cousin or whatever and then go off on my date.
Okay.
But that's not the way the evening worked out.
No, huh?
No. So anyway, after she borrows my phone... she starts calling this guy, and all of a sudden, like, it shows up that Susie's calling on his caller ID.
Mm-hmm.
I know her cousin.
Really?
Yes.
So he comes in, and you recognize the guy?
Absolutely. He's a really good friend of mine.
Wow.
I had plans to actually hang out with him today because he just moved to Los Angeles from Colorado.
Are you serious?
Yes. And it all comes back to my lammy, my stuffed lamb, Sam, that we were talking about on yesterday's show. That precious little stuffed animal that I've had since I was born. I met this kid, Will, in Vegas a year and a half ago when I had flown specifically to Vegas to pick up my lamb because I left it at a friend's house when I was driving cross country.
You went specifically to Vegas? You actually flew?
I actually flew to Vegas
to pick up a stuffed animal.
To pick up a stuffed animal. It was too valuable to get lost in the mail. I didn't want to take any chances. I spent like $700 on the plane ticket to like go get this lamb.
So where did you leave it?
I left it at my friend's house when I was driving cross country in Vegas. Because I stopped to spend the night there. Mm-hmm. And then I just, you know, I was hungover in the morning and I forgot it. But yeah, so anyway, when I was picking up the lamb, I met this kid, Will, on the plane. Mm-hmm. Because I was super drunk on the plane and, I don't know, I was getting harassed by this other really drunk guy on the plane. And he was sitting in front of me. Right. And so he kept turning around and laughing at me. And I was like, who are you? I was like, what are you, 17? Because he looks really young for his age. And then he just kind of was like chuckling. He's like, I'm not telling you my age. But then when we got off the plane and everything, I was so drunk and I couldn't figure out where I had left my car. Mm-hmm. So I'm literally standing at the pickup area. No one's there to pick me up because I have my car there. But I just can't remember where I put it. And so he and his
girlfriend... You just don't learn, do you?
No. So he and his girlfriend, they come up and they pull up in their car. And he was like, do you need some help? You look really lost. And I didn't want to like take help from this guy because meanwhile, the whole time I had been like... Oh, yes, yes. Oh, what are you, 17? I'd been a little bit condescending to him.
Yeah.
But so finally, all of a sudden, I realized I needed his help. And then he and his girlfriend like spent like 2 hours driving me around the airport looking at
that
every...
Long, huh?
Yeah, at every single parking spot. Until we found it. But anyway, this kid has been a really good friend of mine for the past couple, like a year and a half now. I've seen him probably like 5 or 10 times.
He's like a good friend of yours.
Yes, like I talk to him. Wow. Every time he comes to LA, we hang out. He spent mm-hmm. the night at my apartment. I've taken him on bike rides with me. He's used my bike.
Really?
He held my hair back when I was puking in Colorado on my birthday. Like, he's a good friend.
Yeah, obviously.
And he's my roommate's first cousin.
Wow.
I know, like, you...
So you're supposed to meet him today, but he showed up at your house
last
yesterday.
Day.
Out of the blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you didn't even know that he was your
no.
roommate's cousin.
The three of us, like,
that's
basically
amazing.
Just screamed at each other. We're just like, oh, wow. My God!
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, what are the odds of that?
I have no idea.
And on the same day we talked about your lamb...
On the same day
here's
we talked
guy
about
related
my lamb.
To your lamb.
Yes. I never would have met him if it hadn't been for my lamb.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So weird. But so anyway, my date ended up not happening last night. So I'm waiting. Now Will showed up and I'm waiting for...
So all your phones were out and you couldn't get a hold of your date. He couldn't get a hold of you.
Yeah, yeah. It was so frustrating because then all of a sudden, once my phone worked to call Will, then all of a sudden I tried to call Sam again and my phone, it just went to dead air.
Mm. But didn't he have... I mean, he had the address, right?
No, I never gave him the address.
Oh, so how did he know where to go?
Well, I told him to go to a certain street.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, and then just call me when you get here. And then, I'll come out of my house. And like, you know, because it's kind of complicated,
right?
From the street, and you can't really see a house number anyway,
right?
But so the poor guy drove all the way up from Long Beach to take me out to dinner, and then none of the phones were working. I called him from like a couple different numbers, uh-huh. And so for like an hour and a half, he was just like wandering around.
Wow, how terrible that is!
I know.
Yeah, I'd be really pissed.
I know.
Do you think you're not answering or what?
I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah. So you haven't talked to him since then?
I talked to him a little bit later on, and he was kind of lost on Sunset wandering around. And at that point, we just kind of decided, we're like, listen, it's late. I was way drunk by then.
Yeah.
I was like, why don't we just cancel it, and you know, we'll postpone it till next week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Dating you is a roller coaster.
I know. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
Yeah, well, let's take a break from your stories for just a second.
And call the author.
And we're going to call the author. Why don't you introduce the name of the book?
The book is called Relevance by Tim Manners, and it's called Making Stuff That Matters.
Okay. Well, that sounded interesting.
I want to know what kind of stuff.
You want to know what kind of stuff? Okay. There's some kind of an extension here, and I don't like calling extensions at all, but... Because then, you know, you have to go through a whole thing on the air, you know. I don't know why they do that. But we'll try.
All right.
We'll try.
Let's
join
give it
us.
A whirl.
It sounds like a pretty interesting book. I like the cover.
I know. I like the cover, too.
Pretty cool, huh? Like white.
Thanks for calling David X Manners Company. If you know your party's extension, you may dial it at any
time. Oh, man.
Please press 1.
What is it with you people? Okay. You see, this is how you have to run a friggin' radio show, you know.
Tim Manners,
good morning, sir. This is Sam and Susie in the morning. We're calling from Los Angeles. How are you doing this morning?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good,
great.
Good. Where are we calling you?
Well, I'm in Westport, Connecticut, so it's actually afternoon here.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, we're just waking up here.
Okay.
And
I'll try to speak softly then.
Thank you very much. I know any sound is kind of irritating in the morning.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know how you feel.
But so we're calling you regarding your book Relevance and Making Stuff That Matters.
Yeah.
Tell us, well, I mean, first of all, I wanted to talk to you about it because it seemed so relevant. no pun intended. But so I really wanted to find out a little more about this, how this came to be, and how it is relevant to really today's economy, society. So the first thing I wanted to ask you is, how do you define relevance?
Well, I define it rather simply as helping people solve problems and live happier lives, mm-hmm. Which really isn't what marketing is about most of the time.
Right.
Most of marketing is directed toward sending messages to try to sell us something. And I just my feeling is that there's an order of priority issue here where there just ought to be more emphasis on the experience of the product or service versus the marketing of it, per se.
I see. Okay, so there's not enough focus, you say, on the product or the service, but there's more on the marketing and, like you said, like getting us to buy.
Well, that's right. You know, when I say that, as I do in the book, that most of what happens in marketing isn't relevant, that's really in many ways saying that most of what happens in marketing is advertising.
Right.
And most advertising really is not relevant. I mean, you think about it, when mm-hmm. was the last time you bought something because of an ad?
Mm.
Personally, I can't remember myself when that was. I mean, I'm not saying that there isn't a time and a place for advertising, that it can't be effective. But again, I just feel that there ought to be more emphasis put on making sure that the products and services that are being advertised actually are meaningful in our lives.
Right. So you're not.
There would be nothing left to advertise.
Yeah.
Well, the advertising kind of takes care of itself when you approach it that way, I think.
Yeah.
Good point.
So you're not suggesting to do away with advertising altogether, right?
No, not at all. I mean, I have an entire chapter in the book that's pretty much a frontal assault on advertising. That's not anything that a lot of other people haven't said before. Maybe I said it differently or I used different examples.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's general agreement, even within the marketing community, at least intellectually, that the effectiveness of advertising is on the decline, mm-hmm. and that other approaches are needed. You need to look no further than some of the most admired brands, like, say, Costco,
mm-hmm.
for instance,
mm-hmm.
which
right.
does absolutely no advertising. When I interviewed the chief marketing officer there, he said they don't even have an advertising budget.
That's true.
He must have an easy job.
Yeah.
It's all about the shopping experience, and that's, again, the advertising takes the word of mouth takes care of itself.
Right. And that's what it seems to be, really. Everywhere I look, it's about word of mouth today, you know.
Mm.
Is that because there's, like, so much competition in the marketplace?
Well, I think there is a lot of clutter, and uh-huh. I think ultimately people just naturally trust what their friends say
right.
More than other sources, perhaps. There's a trend in the business to try to somehow bottle that notion of word of mouth
right.
and almost use people themselves as the medium. But, you know, to me that just really misses the mark. It's that same issue of sort of this unidirectional kind of messaging versus really finding ways to play a meaningful role in our lives with better products and services.
I see. So would you say that some of the bigger companies that we're familiar with, the brands, have they become irrelevant? Can you give us an example of someone?
Well, some of them have. You know, it's interesting. You could argue that, you know, just about every brand you could name at one point was relevant. Otherwise, we wouldn't have heard of it.
Right.
But by the same token, just about any brand you could name at some point either flirted with or succumbed to irrelevance. Probably the most famous example of that would be Apple. If you think back to the late 90s, Apple was almost out of business.
That's true.
Mm.
That's true.
They were beige boxes, and they were cloning themselves, and then Steve Jobs came back. He returned to the fold.
Right. So that was actually during the period when he was gone, right?
That was when he was gone. And when
yes.
he came back, and I'm not sure I've got the sequence exact here, but pretty much his first order of business was to reinvent the Macintosh.
Right.
Remember those candy-colored iMacs?
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And I'm not sure that he necessarily did anything to the operating system that was radically different from the way it had been before.
Right.
But what he did with that redesign was to remind people instantly that, yes, that's what we know and love, what we knew and loved about the Macintosh, and it sent a clear signal that, that the Macintosh was back. I mean, I think that's the, if there's one great lesson that, that I took away from writing the book, this wasn't necessarily an idea I had going into the book, but took away from it, was that the truly great brands, the ones that, that stay relevant are the ones that don't lose sight of what made them relevant to begin with.
Yeah. Mm.
It's amazing how often brands lose their way.
That makes sense, you know, and I remember when the Macs really came out, it was more than a computer. It became like sort of a way of life, a lifestyle, and now it's back with a vengeance, you know.
I mean,
you go to those Apple stores, and it's such a trendy place to be, you know. It's sort of like totally in touch with what people want. And you know, with the, I know their market share went down to as low as 3%, and I think that they're pretty much up there now, right? Close to 10, maybe 8.
Yeah, it's definitely improving. Of course, the iPod has helped a lot. You know, I think that Apple is kind of a sense sort of a mixed signal to a lot of marketers. I think people get distracted by the sort of fashion forward element of, say, the iPod. I mean,
right.
It is a really cool looking device. There's no question about it, and the advertising supports all that, but
I couldn't live without
success,
it.
Yeah. Sorry,
I couldn't live without mine.
Well, I feel the same way about it. But it's not just that it's really cool looking and has a cool image. It's that underneath that very cool exterior, there's an MP3 player that just works better.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And nobody has even come close to creating anything that's as good. I think most people would agree with that. The iPod, I believe, has somewhere upwards of 90% or more of market share.
But wouldn't you say that is more the perception? I mean, is it possible that nobody's come out with something that's actually better, but nobody really knows about it because the iPhone or the iPod is so dominant?
Well, that could be. There could be some other player out there that we just haven't heard about, but I would submit that it's probably just a matter of time before we have.
Yeah.
Because I just feel that when you add value in that way, that people find out. And ultimately, you win.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, again, that's what I think. I think because many have already tried to dethrone the iPod or sort of like come out with a better alternative. But it's such a strong brand, I think, that you can't even touch it. You know,
that's
because.
True.
And I think I think when you talk about relevance, I think that's a relevant product. I mean, it's a way of life. People identify with it, you know?
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, you also mentioned the Apple stores, which are phenomenal. I happen to believe that retail actually is one of the greatest opportunities, one of the greatest untapped opportunities for brands to be relevant. You know, if you think back to when Apple first launched those stores, if you look up the articles that were written at the time, most analysts thought that it was a huge mistake.
Yes, I remember
They thought, because they misunderstood what Apple was doing, they thought that they were going into competition with other retailers. And when you look at it that way, it looks like maybe, you know, somewhat questionable as a strategy. But in fact, they were looking at it, you know, as you just articulated, as a way to really connect with people's lifestyles.
Yes.
And the store itself became part of the brand offering and the appeal of it.
Right. So how does a company, let's say a company is starting to build a new strategy, how do they become relevant? What do they have to look at first?
Well, some of it is what I've talked about already. And of course, it's also going to be different depending on what the brand is. I'm not sure that there's any hard and fast set of rules or principles that you can follow that's going to naturally lead you to relevance. But I think that there's some guidance that ought to be followed. Chief among them is to keep it simple. I think iPod actually is a great example of that, as are many other you know, of the more successful consumer electronics, where many of them try to appeal to us by adding more features and bells and whistles. The best ones understand that it's often more about taking things away than adding them on. So that's true with products and as well as with the retail experience, where the trend is away from having an overwhelming array of choices. Out your way, you have these new Fresh and Easy stores, right? Tesco Fresh and Easy, if you've been to those stores.
I call it Fresh and Sleazy.
Fresh and Sleazy. Okay, maybe it's a bad example. I'm going to speak from personal experience here because I'm out east and I'm back east, I guess, as you say, in California.
Yeah.
And I haven't actually been in a Fresh and Easy store.
Fresh and Sleazy.
The concept there is to sort of edit the choices and to make it simpler, easier, faster, to get through the store.
Right.
They're having too many choices very often can be absolutely paralyzing.
I hate that. I hate having too many choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, if you look at, I think the a good example of simplicity is Google. You know, I mean, you go on their website and there's absolutely nothing except a search box. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you said, you know, it's really simplified. No distractions, no, you know, and they give you exactly what you came there for, you know.
Well, I see that concept sort of manifesting itself with a lot of different kinds of products. Nike has done it with its apparel. Mm-hmm. It's pared down the choices. I think Burberry's is another example in the fashion industry that's done that. One of my favorite stores here is a store called Stu Leonard's.
I love Stu Leonard's. It's the best grocery store in the world.
Okay. See, they've got Stu Leonard's.
They've got the mooing cow.
Well, they do. You know, and that's sort of another example I was talking about before where, you know, in many ways, that's the image of Stu Leonard's, or the entertainment value. It's kind of a Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Of grocery
really?
Stores.
Wow.
But it's also very easy to shop that store.
You have no choice. You've got to follow the maze.
You've got to follow the maze. I mean, there are cut-throughs. I think IKEA is a little bit like that, actually very much like that
as
well.
That's true. IKEA is sort of like you have to go in a maze.
I hate IKEA, though.
Yeah? Why?
IKEA gives me, like, a massive anxiety attack. Like, the one time I went in, like, I didn't really pay attention to how I was supposed to do things. Mm-hmm. And so I figured out, I found everything I wanted, and then I got to the end, and I didn't realize I had to write everything down. And so I was like a salmon, like, swimming upstream and trying to get through the people and trying to get back to all the rooms where I found everything. And it was just confusing.
The salmon upstream, that's a good Swedish metaphor. when I bring up IKEA, usually the first thing people say is, oh, love their meatballs.
Oh, yeah, they've got the best. Yeah.
It may not be what they have in mind.
Yeah. But you see, that's the thing. I've always thought that IKEA is very relevant. You know, it's almost, it's got something for everyone. It's nice. It's inexpensive and they've got their way. You know, I mean, they don't really assist you just like at Costco. For the most part, it's self-service and people seem to love it.
Well, the difference between IKEA and a lot of other brands, I mean, love it or hate it, you would have to admit that they really have thought through what they're trying to offer us.
Right.
And I do believe that their goal is to help us solve our problems, in this case, furnishing our homes in an economical way.
Right. Right.
Even if the shopping experience sometimes, I've heard a lot of people complain about it.
When I do IKEA, I shop online.
Good move.
Yeah, but you're right. I think the retail really does still have a place, especially since we got so used to the internet that I think, like, for example, people think that bookstores are going to go away, but I don't think it's quite the same as Tower Records going away, because people are always going to want to touch the books, smell them, you know, and sample them. So, you know, and the same with the Apple stores as well. You know, they put it right at your fingertips. They let you spend as long as you want with their products. And, you know, this. So I think I agree with you on the retail side of this, definitely.
Well, they make it fun at Apple. They make you want to go there, and I agree with you as well on the bookstores. And we have a Barnes & Noble here. It's a big, you know, mega chain, but it's a center of entertainment here in town. I mean, you go there on a Friday night, and you see a lot of families there.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's a night out.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So it's not really all about price. I mean, sometimes I'll go to Amazon and just buy something quickly, but it doesn't mean I'm going to stop going to bookstores, you know. So,
I like your reference to Andy Warhol in here because I know when he was doing all of his spiel with Barney's that I was totally there all the time, and I just loved all the artwork on the bags and all over the walls and.
Mm-hmm. So what was he saying about Andy Warhol there?
Why don't you ask him yourself?
Oh, okay. No, okay. I guess I'm asking you, sir.
Well, Andy Warhol really was a great fan of great retail, and in fact was a really brilliant retailer himself. You know, his famous quote was about everybody having 15 minutes.
Of fame.
Right. And I've got, you know, sort of a play on that in the future everyone will be a retailer for 15 minutes. And it was actually a direct reference to a trend toward what's called pop-up shops. I don't know if you're familiar with that idea. It's happening more and more where brands will sort of take vacant retail space and use it really to create more of a sort of an experience versus necessarily selling
Right.
Anything.
Right, yes. I've actually seen that. I think with the Wii, when they first were coming out with the Wii, they had it in the malls and you could just go there and play, you know, all you wanted, you know, so.
Really?
Yeah. It's really cool.
Well, you know, Target, which I don't believe it has a store in New York City even to this day. Well, actually, they do now. There's one in Brooklyn, if you count that, but not in Manhattan. And a couple of seasons ago, during the holidays, they actually parked a barge. Mm-hmm. On the Hudson River.
Really?
Wow.
And turned it into a boutique just for the holidays.
Oh, wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah, how original. Yeah. Amazing.
There ought to be more of that. I mean, they really are having fun with it. You know, I think it's the part of retail that needs to learn the most from this is clearly the supermarkets.
Right.
Because most of them are just terrible.
Yeah.
And yet if they looked at what some of these other retailers were doing, I think they could draw on some lessons there and maybe even turn grocery shopping into something that people enjoy and look forward to.
You know what
Stu
I think
Stu
Leonard's has, and I also think Trader Joe's does a really good job of that because they don't really offer that many different selections.
Right.
Like when you get to the pasta sauce, they have different flavors, but I mean, it's all pretty much one brand.
Mm.
And it's like, you have to buy that one brand.
Yeah. And there's another relevant brand, I think, you know, one that goes word to mouth all the time is Trader Joe's. I mean,
mm-hmm.
people are just crazy about it.
I know.
I love Trader Joe's, too. And I think a key word, I mean, what's interesting about them from a retailer standpoint is the stores themselves are very spare. They're very Spartan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're exciting because there's so many different kinds of interesting things going on there. You can make a discovery every time. It's a little different.
Yeah.
And the people who work there are just, I don't know what they're drinking. But
they love working there.
Yeah.
I was actually just talking about this on the air the other day. I was like, Sam, I think I might want to get a job at Trader Joe's. I was like, everyone just, you know, it looks like they're like 2 seconds away from breaking into like a dance. It's like looking like a Broadway show.
And you compare that to the way it is at most supermarkets where, you know, half the time the cashier is on the cell phone
mm-hmm.
or talking to the other cashier,
yeah,
barely smiling, sometimes scowling, you know. And Trader Joe's, they want to make sure that you got what you wanted, and they comment on what you bought and how they use it. I mean, it's
exactly.
really pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great lesson, I think, for grocery stores to learn is it's about the experience. And I know that going to a regular grocery store is not a pleasant experience for me.
I don't even like going to Whole Foods anymore.
Really?
I mean, I like the products that they have, but I mean, overall, just the feel that you get there. I mean, people are just kind of like uppity and like snotty and I don't know. They're just not very helpful.
Yeah.
And there are signs everywhere that are like, you know, don't sample. You know, it's just kind of like forbidding. And then it's like, I wasn't going to sample, but now I want to sample because you told me I can't.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Whole Foods either. I think that there's a culture there that's arrogant.
Yes.
That's true. I felt that as well. Wow. Well, Mr. Tim Manners, this has been amazing. Sorry, here my phone. I mean,
is this your first time in the studio, Sam?
Yes, I guess. I apologize for that. But Tim Manners with the book Relevance, Making Stuff That Matters. I think it's a great easy read. I think, and yet it's got a lot of depth to it. I know I'm going to be reading this because you know I'm running this radio station here, and I want to make sure that that we focus really on what we deliver, on the experience, rather than on just advertising and trying to push the name, you know. So I thank you for that. I mean, like I said, I'm definitely going to finish the book. And how long did it take to put something like this together?
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, the actual writing of the book took about 6 to 8 months, but I drew on material that I had been collecting over a period of years.
Mm.
There are about 50 different interviews that I did with senior-level, sometimes well-known marketing people from big companies, and then about 80 sort of vignettes or examples of brands that either, you know, found, lost, or otherwise rediscovered their relevance.
Right. Wow.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's. At any rate, we're out of time here. I could talk to you about this stuff for hours because you seem like just a wealth of information there about stuff that I like. You know, I mean, I like marketing and brands and even advertising. I just think it's fascinating because it has to do with people's psychology and so forth, you know. And
yeah, definitely.
You know, so thank you for spending this time with us, sir. And
thank you.
Sure, all the best to you. And do you have any website or anything we can go to and find out more?
Well, I have a website that, strangely enough, is called timmanners.com.
Okay. That's very strange.
No way.
How did I manage that one?
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's just timmanners.com, and there's information about the book. I've got a blog there and also links to other sites that I run, one of which is called Hub Magazine, which is white papers and roundtables with marketing people, and my daily newsletter, Cool News, which is posted at reveries.com.
Okay, sounds good. So we're definitely going to go there. We'll put a link on our website for that. And again, everybody go and get Relevance by Tim Manners. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yes. Thank you, Sam. Thanks, Susie.
Pleasure. Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So we always get such nice people.
I know.
You know, those authors are really, really nice people.
I liked him.
And again, East Coast, Susie. You see?
Dude, I know. That's where all the intellect is.
I guess.
California,
the leftovers.
We have all the vacuous people out here that are just like, oh my gosh, I didn't eat anything like all week. I'm a supermodel.
Supermodel. Okay, well, we're going to take a little break and we'll be back right after this.
My sex life was going nowhere until I started using Testagra.
Introducing Testagra, a topical testosterone cream designed specifically to increase the sex drive in mature women.
We've been married for years and my wife's sex drive was stale. Then she started using Testagra. And now she's as horny as me and strong too.
With Testagra, women can get the boost in the bedroom they haven't had in years.
Hey, get over here. I want it now.
Consult your doctor and see if Testagra is right for you. Side effects include increased body hair, muscular development, deepening of voice, frequent erections, and oily discharge.
Come on, baby.
I said stop.
Take off those pants.
No means no.
You like it rough.
Now, you can have sex like a man with Testagra.
Give mommy a kiss.
Found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back. That was a fascinating interview. I like that.
I know. That guy was really cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have our guest in the studio.
Hello.
Our future host.
Hello.
Aaron. Aaron, how do you pronounce your last name?
Muir.
Muir.
Yep.
Okay, that's easy.
Scottish.
Scottish?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Wow.
It's Gaelic for sea, like the ocean, S-E-A.
Mm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, my crazy great-aunt Margaret told us that we were actually descended from Selkies, which is a half seal, half human, and that is why we have the last name Muir. Like I said, she was crazy aunt Margaret.
Yeah. How did the seal get into this whole equation?
I don't know, but you know, I guess there's a Scottish legend about half, like if you've ever seen The Secret of Rowan Ish, which is a movie about half seal, half human,
mm-hmm.
and my crazy aunt Margaret would grab my arm, grab my wrist when I was little, and be like, now, girly, if you go to Scotland, don't you go in the water. And I'd always be like, okay, well, it's really cold there, so I probably won't anyway, but okay. Oh, no.
They haven't taught you how to play the bagpipes.
No, I don't know bagpipes. Although, you know what, at weddings,
she does have a kilt.
I do have a kilt. Yeah, people do kilts and traditional dances and Scottish sword dances and sword fighting. Actually,
have you ever taken a peek under the kilt? I guess these are family affairs, so that would kind of be wrong.
It's like, how do you blush on the radio?
Yeah. But I guess they say they don't wear underwear underneath.
I know, that's why I wanted to know if she took a peek.
Yeah. You should go to Scotland. I mean, what is it like?
I've been
you
to
think
Scotland.
Everybody walks in skirts there, or is it just like
many do, but a lot of, I mean, I've actually never been, but I have a lot of family who have gone, and I mean, of course, they're, you know, modernized like the rest of us, but a lot of gentlemen do wear kilts, and especially on special occasions, it's sort of like, you know, wearing a tuxedo.
I was going to say, on a hot day, you know, you want the extra breeze.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say on a hot date, and I'm like, yeah.
Or on a hot date. Yes, yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let my balls hang, you know. Yeah, but it's actually pretty simple to have sex that way, huh?
I know.
You just lift your skirt.
And you were knocking Eric for wearing a skirt here last week. Seriously.
Yeah, but he had a long one.
Still easy to access.
It looked like a friggin' dress to me. Erin, so you're a friend of the station. I mean, you've been here many times before.
Yes.
Several times on different shows and stuff, and you decided you want to have your own show.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a natural for you because you love to talk.
Thank you.
And
I
you're
do.
Fun.
As they say, Erin can talk a waterfall. That's
really?
That's true. Yeah.
So your show is going to start tomorrow?
Starts tomorrow. It's called Wide Open.
Wide Open. Mm-hmm. Where do you think that name came from, Susie?
Legs Wide Open?
Maybe something like that. I think it had something to do with that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eyes Wide Shut?
But well, I guess it's a play on words, right?
It is
so
a play on words.
What else would be wide open?
So, for example, my heart is wide open.
Oh.
Like, and for example...
So you're going to be honest.
I'm going to be honest. I am a very honest person, actually. I don't know if you... Once a person says, I'm very honest, you always have to be a little bit suspect.
Yeah, if they say so themselves.
the best I can, to the best of my ability. It's sort of about being a woman, you know? So it's sex and it's dating, certainly, and it's spiritual awakening, and it's about also, like, this fun social aspects of things like restaurants and drinking and movies. You
sounds
know,
good, yeah. Yeah. You see, that fits perfectly with our format. You know, I mean, we don't want anything heavy here. There's no serious,
nothing serious.
Shit going on.
No.
So this definitely fits in, you know.
Well, I have to tell you, too, and even, like, I think sometimes, like, the spiritual aspect of it scares people away, but I actually spent a lot of time in India. I stayed at an ashram where the Swami, all he ever did was laugh. He looked like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And you would go ask him a question, you know, and you thought it was some deep, sincere sort of, like, life-altering question. You were going to take it so seriously. And he would just laugh. And that was actually the biggest lesson, which
really?
Is joy,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah,
it's
I'll
all
take
we
that
need
lesson.
In this life,
yeah.
Joy.
Yeah. Now, Susie, do you notice her eyes? I mean, how deep are they?
They're
it seems
so
like
gorgeous.
They're going to the middle of the earth.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
What color? Are they kind of green?
I don't know. They change.
They look greenish, grayish-ish.
There's blue.
They're almost like white, you know?
Sometimes
I mean,
they're white.
Really?
When I'm very angry, they're red.
No. Really?
You know, like when
but
I was...
it's almost like contacts.
They change according to what I'm wearing and what color my hair is.
But what I like most about them is, like, she actually has, like, it looks like eyeliner around, like, the circle of, like, the color part of the eyeball.
I know, it really does.
Which
the
makes
iris.
The other color, like, really pop out, and you're just kind of like, ah.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, when I was, I used to live near a Native American reservation, and they had a nickname for me, which was Wolf Eyes.
You
really?
Know what? That actually is very suiting.
Yeah,
I
can see that.
Yeah, like a husky, right?
Exactly.
A Siberian
like a husky.
That's exactly. That's the kind of eyes.
Ah.
Maybe you're mixed with a dog, huh?
Maybe that's why.
Maybe
it was.
You're not part
selfie.
Seal.
do people ever tell you you're a bitch or anything?
Well, Sam. No, I've got a little of that in me. But, you know, huskies are some of the sweetest, most loving dogs in
really?
The universe.
They really
they
are.
But they're wonderful dogs.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to be compared to a dog, you know, a husky, bring it on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's better than being compared to a chihuahua.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little yappy little.
No kidding.
That's Sam's favorite dog.
No, but she's definitely not a dog at all. I mean, you're beautiful. I always thought
you
were, you know. And so have you always been beautiful?
No, definitely not. Thank you for asking. I definitely was the ugly duckling.
Really?
Thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. If you could see pictures, like if I date a guy and we get to the point where he's coming home to meet my parents, I'm like, Mom, do not bring out the albums. They'll be like, oh, my God, you were fat and your hair was sticking straight up and you wore Coke bottle glasses. And what was wrong with your teeth?
Really?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I actually loved myself when I was a kid because I'm like, oh, poor little Erin.
Yeah, that's true. They were abusing you. Kids are the meanest, you know?
Yes, they can be.
So then you went on to high school where you...
blossomed.
Did you blossom a little bit?
I blossomed, I guess I'd say somewhere halfway through high school, but by then it was kind of too late. I think, you know, like...
Your reputation has been sealed.
Yeah, in terms of, like, dating. Is what I was just talking with a friend of mine the other day. I had the craziest experience. In my school, there was the cutest boy. His name was Joey Sauer. Right now, he's actually one of the sexiest professions. He's a firefighter.
Oh, baby.
Right? Oh, this guy's gorgeous. He's gorgeous, right? And I always had the biggest crush on him in, like, fifth grade. And I always thought he was really cute all through high school. Well, I happen to have been Erin, who, you know, was an ugly duckling turned into swan, whatever. But also, my dad was the football coach. So, no guy would ask me out ever. And I just thought it was because I was ugly or whatever.
Yeah.
So, over the summer... Okay, now Now I'm 31, so years later.
Are you really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she doesn't look it, huh?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah. You must not party hard.
right. Yeah, I think the real truth is my innards are pickled.
Cheers to that, sister.
That's right, as I sip my coffee.
With Bailey's.
Right, yeah. How did you know?
this is really vodka, it's not water.
Right, exactly. Woo! This is why I love this station.
The other day we had a guest here. She was so friggin' thirsty. We had no water. So Susie offers her water that was mixed with wine, right?
I didn't purposely mix it with wine, but I had been drinking, you know, it was my road soda. So I had filled the water bottle with wine the day before.
Just like high school.
I know. Just like my
grandparents. She's never grown.
Just like my grandparents. My poor grandmother got pulled over, like, I don't know, a year and a half ago. And she had her scotch in her hands. And the officer was like, ma'am, like, what's in your hand? And she's like, my scotch. And then the cop looks over at my grandfather. And my grandfather's sitting there with, like, his crystal glass. And the officer was like, sir, what's in there? My vodka. And the cop was just like, Jesus Christ. He's like, okay, just go.
Wow.
Couldn't believe it. Huh?
The cachet of being an elder's lady and gentleman.
Like, she just has no, like, she has no idea that, like, you're not supposed to do it. She's like, oh, Susie, do you have your road soda?
Oh, that is so darling, actually. I sort of love that.
I know.
Highly illegal, but beyond that, yeah. Quite charming.
Sounds like fun, yeah? Right up your alley. So, you like to drink?
I do like to drink. In fact, I used to do stand-up, and I have a little shtick about how, you know, I love drinking mostly because it can really connect you back with your family.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
My whole family, they're storytellers. They're Scottish, and, you know, if they drink scotch, which is a lot of what they do enjoy drinking, bourbon or scotch or something along those lines.
Can I come over?
Yes, absolutely. But you have
free
to
booze.
Keep it up with the stories. It's like it becomes a crazy competition.
Really?
And they
bring it
more and more outlandish. Once I was, I'm so terrible. If I've really had a lot to drink, I will be a total tall tale teller. And I remember once I was at a party and I was so drunk and this girl said, I said something kind of snarky, I don't know. And she said, well, you better be careful because everyone in here is a writer. And I said, oh, yeah? Well, I happen to be the 2003-2004 National Scrabble Champion, so I actually have no fear of whatever you might have to say at all. She's like, yeah, whatever. And I said, no, Google it right now. Let's go online. Well, Google 2003 National Scrabble Champion. You will see my name, Erin Muir. And after about 5 minutes of me being so insistent, I got the whole room believing. Nobody actually Googled it. And we were all drunk. But I got the whole room
you
believing
You just convinced
it.
Me. Shit. Yeah. You got me believing it now.
Google right now. We got our computers on the
phone. And actually, Susie's the gullible one. I'm surprised.
I believe everything.
That's a really, I think that's a nice way to live.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. When my bubble gets burst on occasion, I'm always just shocked. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, really?
Yeah, but then you're open to experience. You get to try whatever's coming your way.
Exactly.
You don't have preconceived notions about it.
Yeah. I love going through my life like completely, you know, ignorance really is
careless. Yeah, ignorance
haphazard.
Is good.
And then I might be dumb, but I'm smart. No, yeah. But I'm never mind. I'm still asleep, forgive me.
Yeah, but Susie's the only one I know who actually drinks before going to class and performing better than most.
Yes. Studying at a bar.
Yeah, don't they say that the way you study is the way you should take the test?
Who is? I want to know who the day is that said
the
that.
The ubiquitous they, that's what I call them.
Yeah, I want to know who they are.
They are the powers that be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's in psychology, I learned that once, I think in college, that it's indeed like you recall things better if you're in the same state of mind that you were when you learned it the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're high when you're learning it, you probably perform better
because
if you're high when you take the test.
Wow.
So,
well, it's a good thing my biology study group like always leaves class to get high in the middle. Boy, they.
What a bunch of losers, man. How the fuck are you guys going to get out of school, man?
Sam, I not have been like successfully that. In undergraduate school for 8 years, so yeah. Fuck you.
Oh, that, I'm proud of you, Missy. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I am not a quitter. I am not a quitter. I can learn.
You know, it took me, well, I went
Aaron, get just
on
a little closer
oh,
to the
yes,
mic.
Yes, of course, thank you.
Thanks.
Just I went. Stick it right in there.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I call it making love to the microphone.
There you go, and you can if you take the pop.
Yeah. She's breaking it down.
Yeah,
I'm dancing.
Yeah, she's breaking down. She's starting to reveal the true Aaron.
Red light.
So, where were you born? Are you from back east?
I am from Minnesota. I was born on the banks of the Mississippi River, in
really?
Fact.
Really?
In St. Cloud, Minnesota, in the middle of a ice storm, February 21st, 1977. It was a miraculous day.
Oh, wow.
Yes, my mother's water
broke.
Does
that make you a Pisces?
Yes, I am a Pisces.
I'm a Pisces, too.
Yay! Nice. Pisces is the best. That's why the gullible thing, but, yeah. You know.
Is Pisces the best?
Well, they're the best and the worst, because they're the culmination of all signs preceding. So, the
oh,
wonderful
really?
Thing
now,
is...
Now, that's in December, right?
No, February and March.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm. Okay, yeah. So that's Aquarius, actually, the... I don't know. What the fuck? Anyway. Well,
December would be Sagittarius and Capricorn.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Are you into
Yeah, I studied metaphysical astrology for 3 years with a master teacher, Kelly
really?
Hunter. Yeah.
Wow.
And I do charts and I do all sorts of, I can do predictions and things like that. I don't as much now because it just hasn't been as huge a part of my life. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Once an astrologist, always an astrologist. People start talking signs and my ear just goes, oh. Yeah. All right, let me hone in on this conversation here. I want to know what you're talking about. So... Yeah.
So from Minnesota.
From Minnesota, and, yeah.
Oh, I
yeah.
love Minnesota. It's such a beautiful state.
Have you been?
Yeah, I've got family there, too.
Oh.
Where in Minnesota?
Nice. They are in Minneapolis, actually.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But
yeah. I lived there for 7 years.
Oh, it's so gorgeous.
Yeah. I went there once, but I couldn't see that it was gorgeous at all because it was in the winter. It was all icy. Mm. I couldn't see shit other than trying to get cars... you know, that gets stuck in the ice.
Absolutely.
You know, that's all that fucking happened.
And, yeah. But
I'm getting annoyed 8 months already. It's only 8 months out of the year, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah. See, it's not so bad.
No, I suppose not.
The year I knew I had to move forever, because I've lived a lot of different places. I always moved around. I've lived in Mexico and Florida, and I kept going back to Minneapolis. It was a great place to go back to. Mm-hmm. The year I knew I had to move was the year that my car broke down. I worked on the other side of town, and a bus drove. Happened at the coldest snap of the year.
Oh.
So I had to either finagle rides, call in sick to work, or get a taxi because there was no bus service. And it was actually so cold, the governor canceled schools because children could die if they waited outside for the bus.
Are you serious?
And I was like, I gotta get out of this place. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow, how can you live in the cold like that, you know? And it's a totally different lifestyle. You have to shovel up your driveway every morning.
I love it.
Shit.
I don't mind it.
Yeah?
Yeah? That's not so bad.
Yeah.
It's good exercise.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not so bad. But I mean,
shoveling can give me an orgasm.
Yeah. Wow, I got to hear about that.
Yeah, let's hear about it, Susie.
Yeah, and then shoveling. I'm going to direct all my Minnesota friends to, like, some of them are listening now, but I'm going to make sure they all archive.
No, shoveling and, like, sweeping and raking. I don't know. I have this machine at the gym that I call it, like, the orgasm machine. And it's not even really a machine. It's a thing that you hoist yourself up on with your arms and you hold on. And then you actually lift your legs and you do, like, the leg lifts.
Mm.
And so once I reach, like, 100 of those... All of a sudden, like, my stomach muscles are working so hard that I literally feel like I'm going to have an orgasm. And if I could push it a little bit further, you know, it can usually happen.
Wow.
Now, I get the same feeling when I'm sweeping or raking or shoveling from, like, twisting my sides and, like, doing my obliques. Mm-hmm. Are those what those are? The side abs? Uh-huh. Doing the obliques. And if I start sweeping, shoveling, or raking hard and fast enough... I just have the biggest smile on my face,
are
and I am
serious,
just having
Susan?
A grand old... I am dead serious.
Wow.
Yeah.
Without touching?
Without touching.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And then you thought it was weird when I told you women can orgasm by crossing their
That's
legs.
That's so stupid. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
They can.
I don't
of
believe
course.
It.
I will admit that I have.
From crossing your legs.
From crossing her legs.
Yeah.
You see?
I think I'm not saying
I mean,
like
on
accident.
On
I'm crossing my legs here, and you know what you guys don't know is I've been orgasming all morning. Yeah, no, it's more like I think if you apply the pressure and squeeze against you know your clit, then you're
you're fine. Let's analyze that a little bit.
I don't know.
So let's get some pictures. We'll bring up some charts online.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the impression I got from you is you're pretty sexual. I mean, you talk about it a lot and you want to bring it up on your show and stuff. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. In regards to a lot of it is that it's part of the full enjoyment of life.
Mm.
And it's not that I'm some sort of hyper-sexed playmate type, although,
slut.
Actually, once I went to the Playboy Mansion for New Year's Eve, and it was so anticlimactic. I was like, oh.
Really? Why? Yeah. What happened?
Well, first of all, I don't know what I was expecting, but it was sort of like the coolest part of the evening was meeting Jane Russell, who is one of my heroes from you know the old school movie actress.
Yes,
She was... gorgeous. She was like in her 80s. She was out at the Playboy Mansion on New Year's Eve. I was like, wow, awesome.
Cool.
But like, I think part of it was, first of all, All the lights were up so bright, and everyone was wearing makeup, but they looked garish. And they were all wearing makeup, gentlemen included, because cameras were there. But it looked really garish and surreal, so it was kind of like being Alice in Playboy Wonderland. And then, I mean, I didn't expect it to be like an all-out orgy, but I expected to see a little bit more than what I saw. And it was like, oh, okay, so it's basically like a super-sized frat party. You know, it wasn't like...
So there weren't people in the grotto swimming naked and shit?
No, toward the end of the night, some people started getting in, but it was like, okay, this sounds a little mean, but like people who were sort of desperately seeking some sort of validation or attention. And hey, go for it. You know what? Do whatever you got to do. But
yeah, especially like, there when there's so many beautiful people, you want to stand out, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's the other thing, too. I have to say, like,
there weren't that many beautiful people.
Well, up close with the bright garish lights, it's like you do see a lot that you can airbrush out.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the women were very beautiful. I'm not, of course they were, but they were like 99% blonde too. So it was kind of like, all right, I'm a brunette. I'm diversity.
But you used to be blonde. I saw on Facebook, right?
I tried being blonde for a little while. And
what happened to your eyes?
Yeah, my eyes just like got really weird all of a sudden. Sorry, I have to keep them closed.
Are you going to cry because I went to the Playboy Mansion without you? I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. I'll always bring you from here on out. I met the event party coordinator. It's fine.
No, you know when your eyes just like get, I don't know, they just get really tired all of a sudden. It's just like, never mind.
It's okay, you can close them.
Okay, I'm listening.
We'll hypnotize you.
Hypnotize you, I'm falling asleep. No, anyways, I think the point about sex is that it's actually very important, especially to women, and I would like it to be owned by women also, not just a stereotype of, you know, women and sex. Like, if I'm into sex, I therefore must be some either A, slut, or
nymphomaniac.
B, nympho, or C, even a femme fatale, you know, like maybe I'm just actually a normal girl, you know, and I just happen to like exploring that part of myself. Although I guess apparently I am, you know, I mean, when I tell people, oh, I've been to the Playboy Mansion, it was actually kind of boring. People are a little surprised. Or, you know, if I talk about my days in a burlesque troupe, it's like, it's not what you think it is. It's just this kind of zany, crazy, silly, sexy fun.
Yeah.
You know, but
my best friend in Canada is a burlesque dancer too.
Yay.
I love going out there for all of her shows.
What's her burlesque name?
Daisy.
Daisy. That's cute. I was international girl. Because I would sing these songs, you know, I studied opera and I would sing these arias, but I would do them in all these weird foreign languages that weren't even appropriate to the song.
I've been looking for someone to go to the opera with. Can we go to the opera?
I would love to go to the opera.
I want to get like all dressed up and just go to the fucking opera.
Let's do it. Can I love the opera. I'm always looking for people to go with me.
Yay!
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, you don't have to tell me about it afterwards. Okay.
Sam hates it.
I'm so not into opera.
That's no problem.
But it's pretty cool that you are, you know? I mean, I find it, you know, amazing that some people actually enjoy this a lot, you know?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Like the opera and the ballet are just like two of my most favorite things to do. Oh, yeah.
They're so beautiful. I get overwhelmed with the
I will be like crying. Like I will be sobbing.
Yeah, there are some things I actually can't listen to because they will, you know, they will hurt my feelings too greatly.
Yes.
Yeah. Really? How do you even understand what they're saying when they sing like that?
Well, first of all, a lot of it is... I mean, I studied opera, so I personally have a large awareness of it. But also, they have the guides that will explain to you what is happening. Also, there's the context of what's happening on stage. It's like when you're watching a ballet, it's the movement.
It's like they're not speaking anything, but, you know, you know exactly. You're just like, whoa, you're so overwhelmed with emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and also, just the beauty of it. To me, it can be so... It's like inhaling roses and you're inside the rose. It's the most amazing beauty when it's really beautiful.
Like never thought of opera like that before, but you say so.
Sometimes you need the right person to introduce you.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, this is the type of thing where you have to
Maybe we should make him come with us.
I don't see how I could ever enjoy it. But,
well, got you know glasses what? Of wine.
He's not even a big drinker. It's bullshit.
Stop making me seem straight.
I'm a square. It's like there are things that I'll try
square?
Anything.
Okay. Square.
I think he's a little more like long trapezoid.
There's nothing trapezoidal about him. Nothing. He is missionary physician Sam.
Fuck you. Wouldn't you love to know? Well, no, it's not about that. Look, I mean, you get older, you get a little more conservative and shit. But that has nothing to do with opera.
It's happening to me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah, you're getting so old. Yeah.
I had this conversation last night. I went to a singles mixer, and I brought actually my ex-boyfriend, who's one of my dearest friends now, and we were talking with these... Nobody knew we had dated. We're just like brother and sister now. Right. But we knew. And so we were getting into these conversations with other people about, as you get older, if you get more conservative. And it was hilarious, because I would be like, well, you know, actually, I'm at a point in my life where, although my biological clock is telling me you should be having lots of sex, I'm actually so much more discerning than I was in my 20s about who I would actually have sex with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was like... He looked at me and he kind of went like, hey, you know, because I was like, yes, I'm very discerning after my late 20s there. And he was like, yeah, I guess I used to not be a player, but I am now. And I was like, oh, that's cute.
Whatever.
Like, yeah, that's why you're here with me, your ex-girlfriend, at a singles mixer. Player.
Now, how does the singles mixer thing work?
I don't know if it actually works. I got to admit.
The word mixer is hysterical.
Yes, it's so 1957.
Like, yes. I was like, we're totally in the 1950s right now. Like, did you wear your poodle skirt?
Yeah. I may have. What did I wear? Oh, I was wearing Miss 60 jeans that were ripped, and I was wearing a pink shirt and a long, one of my cool, I have a trench coat collection. I was wearing one of my trench coats.
I love trench coats.
Yeah, I know.
I left my favorite Griffin one in Boston, and I went to wear it the other day, and I couldn't find it. I was like, oh my God, breathe.
Yeah, breathe. No kidding.
It was the day I wore my rubbers. The boots?
Oh, yeah.
I know, I was like, yeah, there's like, more about Susie than meets the eye, huh?
She's got names for everything.
No, there was a drop of rain, and I was so excited. I was like, yes, I can wear my trench coat and my rubber rain boots.
Yeah, oh, I love rubber rain boots. I think
I've got a collection of those, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, it's Pisces, right? We love collecting things, and we love shoes.
I don't really know much about my astrological sign or myself because of it. Like, well, I always have people
Aaron
tell
me.
Aaron
is perfect one to tell you, probably.
Yeah. What's your actual birth date?
March 14th.
And, oh, just like Anne of Green Gables.
Really?
Yeah. I know.
Who the hell is
she's
that?
She's one of my favorite fictional characters. She's a children's book character.
I see.
Also, my grandmother's birthday. What year were you born?
82.
Yeah. Oh, okay, great. We're shaping up. We're really good here. Yeah. What time of day were you born?
I think I was born at like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Oh, my. Okay, so then
you're... What, you can do this in your head now?
Well, I can sort of generalize about what would be going on.
Right.
Just because I looked at so many charts, I have sort of a cultural awareness. It's not going to be exactly perfect. It would be much more perfect if you actually looked up your chart online. You know, went to a website, filled in the information, like astro.com, you can get free charts. Put in your place of birth, time of birth, date of birth, and it'll bring up exactly what the sky looked at. Like the minute you popped your head out of your mother, you know, like,
oh, really?
This is what the sky looks like. And that's how they determine, you know, the entire chart with the 12 houses. And, the reason I asked the time of day is because that's where the horizon was, what sign the horizon was in that moment you were born. That's a huge part of your personality. So, for example, mine, it's called rising sign or ascendant. Mm-hmm. Mine is on the cusp of Libra and Scorpio, and I have the planet Uranus right on the cusp. So, of course, I'm perceived as... And also experience life as a combination of beauty, that would be the Libra, and obsession with love, and sex, which would be the Scorpio part, and then the Uranus, which is the planet, is the planet of change and revolution. So I'm constantly evolving, constantly changing. Even friends who have been friends of mine my entire life, I'll say things and they'll be like, I never knew that about you.
Really?
And I'll be like, I didn't either. You know, so I can kind of generalize based on knowing a lot of people born in 1982, knowing your birthday, knowing the time of day you were born. I can kind of generalize a little bit about...
That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Really, I would imagine you're probably like a Sagittarius rising, maybe Capricorn rising, based on your time of birth. I could be totally wrong because, of course, you know, I'm not. I didn't memorize, you know, the ephemeris or anything.
Well,
like
I know
that.
Everything about her without astrology. So.
Right, exactly.
I don't really need that. Yeah. Just spend enough time with her. Right? She's an open book.
I don't hold anything back.
That's why the other reason I would guess Sagittarius, because it's like the Sages, you know, they're wonderful, but they don't hold anything back, and they're always like looking up at the stars. They always have, you know, reach for the stars, but they always forget to kind of look down at the ground.
Do you hear that, Susie?
Yes. Lots
Come
of energy.
Back down to earth.
Oh, a Sag Pisces mix will never come to Earth, I gotta tell you.
Really?
She's just so having so much fun zooming out there in the ethers of the world. Like, why would you?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Do you have a lot of car accidents?
Well, but she seems to want to settle down. What? You know what?
I haven't had a lot of car accidents lately. I've been doing very well. It's been years.
Lately?
It's been years. I have a lot of car mishaps, mm-hmm. if you will. But they're all things that I do, like, purposely.
I needed some extra money. I figured I could just get into a car accident.
No.
Buy my new Manolo Blahniks. It was great.
Well, like, if you look at my car, like, the front and the back bumper are, like, totally fucked.
But no, that's parking in Los Angeles.
That's parking. I grew up in New York, and I learned how to park in New York. Yeah. And, you know, if a space is just a little bit too small, I will make myself fit into that space. You know, the car in front and back, they've got probably, like, 3 inches of play. Like, mm-hmm. even if they're in park with the e-brake on. Mm-hmm. So I will wiggle my way in.
Give it a good little tap.
Yes,
she parks
yes.
by braille, she says.
Yes. But I do have to drive a stick shift car because I have to have a lot of things going on in the car. I have to have the music on. I'm constantly, you know, like, texting or doing this and that because I get very distracted. I can't just focus on the road if I don't have, like, 10 things going on.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very difficult. If you put me in a car, an automatic car, with no music on, with no one to talk to,
with
the windows rolled up,
no.
I would have an accident in a heartbeat.
Really?
Just the way my body is, I've got to be like...
Yeah, nice. I love the theme music. You should always have that theme music.
Thank you. There's always some kind of theme music going on in my head at all times.
Well, I don't know the theme music that usually is going on in my head. This is scary.
No, no! Stop it.
I know.
I hate the C word.
I'm like, why does that song keep playing in my head?
I hate the C word, and I hate everything that's associated with that.
Yeah, I know. It's scary. Although, I actually have a really good experience with that, which is that I went to massage school also. It's one of the other millions of things that I've done in my life.
Great, because I've got a crick in my neck.
I heard.
Yeah.
And the people
she's just so youthful. I mean, to go out with her...
Did you say youthful or
no,
useful?
No, useful. I know. It sounded like youthful. Yeah. But very useful to have around.
I know. I've got my new BFF here.
You don't need a massage therapist. You don't need an astrologer. You don't need any of that.
Yeah, although I will say I can't whistle.
You can't whistle.
Oh, bullshit.
Whistle.
I can't.
That's it. I need a new best friend.
Yeah.
You're out.
Susie whistles all the time. She whistles when she talks about sex, right?
I whistle all the time. My mother always used to tell me, whistling girls and cackling hens will never do come to very good ends.
Wow.
And that I was just, you know, because I'm constantly like...
Yeah. Oh, no, that's sweet. It's like very Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella sort of.
Yeah, and she can also spit very far, too.
I can spit really far.
Yeah.
Well, now that's useful.
Like 17 feet.
That's very useful.
And how did you come to measure this?
Spitting contest with the boys on the block.
With the boys on the
with
block.
The boys on the block. Yes.
Yeah. I like it.
I know.
Yeah. Well, we have Erin in the studio, and we're going to learn all about her sex life when we come back right after this.
Harry, this is Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, and I want to get a suntan just like your new president, Barack Obama.
Well, Silvio, I have great news for you. Now you too can look like me with Obama Tropic Suntan Lotion.
Hey, so does that mean I can look as young, handsome, and tanned as you?
Exactly. Obama Tropic will give you hope that you can change that pale skin into a vibrantly swarthy complexion like mine.
Hey, Obama Tropic sounds too good to be true.
That's because it is. I'm not suntanned. I'm African-American, you stupid spaghetti bender.
Obama Tropic, the suntan lotion preferred by idiotic European heads of state.
Hey, tell your wife she's used too much of it.
I'm going to punch you.
You just found the very best and original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
We've only just begun to live. White lace and promises, a kiss for luck and we're on our way.
We've only begun.
Before the rising sun,
start out walking and learn to run. And yet we've just begun.
Just begun.
Previously on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
There's something very sensuous when a woman starts talking dirty, you know? You're not expected to in society,
you
know?
It's taboo.
Yeah, kind of. Give us another one. Let's hear another one. A really nasty one.
I'm not asking for love. No long language afternoons of touching and caressing. I'm asking to fuck. To take the whole of you into my ride. To tear your cock from your body with my cunt. To bathe in your cum and lick myself clean. I'm not after love. I'm asking to fuck. No soft, lovely words and feelings shared. It's better to be your whore than your lover. I want to throw you, rip away your clothes, surprise you with indecency, shove my tits in your face and beg for you to suck them. Sailors have manners compared to me. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck and be fucked.
Wow.
I love it.
That was good. I'm actually turned on. You're definitely a cunning linguist, you know that?
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
And we have Erin in the studio.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao, yes.
Isn't ciao when you say goodbye or
ciao
also is hi?
And it's both.
Oh, I see. Like shalom, right?
I was just in Italy in September and I did a lot of ciao.
Really?
Yes. Oh, God. Best food in the world except for maybe Thailand, I guess. I don't know. But yeah.
Ooh. And the men too?
Yes, yes.
They're very amorous.
They're very romantic.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, like, Rome.
Yeah.
I love romantic. Rome. I love Rome.
Me too. I was in Rome and Venice. It was really
That's
one of the greatest
I went
trips
when I was there.
Of my life. Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved it. I had some of the most moving experiences of my life with art. I had some crazy adventures. The girl I went with, who was a dear friend of mine, turned out to be, we turned out not to be suitable traveling partners. Because
oh, that sucks.
Actually, it was great because she didn't drink, eat dairy, or like art. Which I was like, why Italy? But I, on the other hand, am the opposite of that. I love art. My mother was an artist and an art historian and when I was growing up. And I love wine and I love well, all food, really. So we ended up saying, well, let's just meet for dinner at the end of the day. And I was completely free to go do whatever I wanted.
Really?
So I did.
What did she do?
You know what? I think mostly she would sleep in, go running, you know, hang out at the cafe, drinking cappuccinos, flirt with the waiters. She had like a spring break kind of vacation, which I think is what she was looking for. And that's also very respectable. You know?
Yeah. But you were more into the culture and stuff.
Absolutely. I was getting up in the wee hours and getting lost in Rome and lost in Venice. And when I was in Venice, it was awesome because there was an architectural convention going on.
Oh,
so
neat.
I got to go to all of these free exhibits and talks. I mean, it was fabulous. I met, like, I went to the infamous Harry's Bar and ended up meeting Harry Jr., the owner of the bar. And he's a writer and he gave me a book he wrote. And we were talking about writing and celebrities and Ernest Hemingway, who he knew back when Hemingway was alive. And
wow.
They were, meanwhile, plying me with drinks and cake. I mean, it was awesome. It was like everything I love about life.
Awesome. And I always forget to tell people, if you want to call in, the number is 323 203-0815. Mm-hmm. You can ask Aaron questions, that's but we're right. going to ask you most of them. So
that's a great number, by the way.
Why?
323-203-0815. I don't know. I just love numbers. There's a lot of combinations of five in that number, so yeah. it just sort of makes me excited. Like, ooh!
And a lot of threes, too. yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. I had to pick a few numbers. It's amazing I mm-hmm. picked that one. But it seemed easier.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you're not in a relationship right now,
I
right,
I am
Aaron?
Single.
You're
very single.
How
I want to go back to the mixer thing.
Oh, yes. How does the mixer work?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, true. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I've been to two now. This is with the networking group. The networking group is amazing. They're a wonderful resource. It's women. It's a group of all women, only women in entertainment. And we do a number of social things. In addition to, it's like everything from like top executives with music and film companies to, you know, like actresses. And it's a really great networking group. We have brunches. It's a great resource for like, I was like, hey, I need songs from independent artists who own their own licensing for a film a friend of mine is doing or for my radio show. And people are like, here you go. And I've got like 50 responses.
Right.
So one of the things that they've been doing is these singles mixers. The first, I've gone to two. One was 2 years ago when I first joined the group. And that one was a lot of fun. But I was there with a girlfriend of mine and I was sort of really chatting it up with this really hot rock and roller. And I had to use the restroom. So I said, I'll be right back. I'm just running the restroom. Came back a few minutes later and he was gone. I'm like, oh. Catherine, what happened to whatever his name was? I don't remember. Whatever happened to Dalada? She's like, well, he asked about you, and I said that you only date, you know, corporate executives.
Oh my God!
Why did she tell him that?
Well, she must have liked him, I guess.
Oh, really?
I was just like, why did you say that? And she's like, well, because you only date corporate guys. I'm like, I actually have only ever dated one corporate guy in my entire existence. I almost always date entirely artists, musicians, and writers. And, I mean, she only knew my corporate guy boyfriend. So
oh, no.
That's why she thought that. But I think she just liked him or something. I don't know. Who knows? It's wild. So last night, I'm sitting there, you know, with, like, my dear friend slash ex-boyfriend. A lot of the people that were there, like Archie said, seems like there's a lot of, like, very shy, lonely, desperate people here. And I was like, it does kind of feel that way.
Yeah.
And he's like, come on. And he, like, forced me to talk to every single person. He's like, this is Aaron. She's single. I'm Archie. Let's talk.
So, well, that's cool.
It was fun. We met a lot of people. I don't think that I necessarily met anyone I'm interested in. But on the other hand, you never know. Just because you met somebody for 10 minutes at a party doesn't mean they might not be wonderful, even if your initial reaction was, I think you can really trust your gut, like, oh, I'm not really attracted. But on the other hand, I think you should, I mean, one of my teachers once said there should be a 3-date rule. Give somebody a chance 3 times. They might be nervous. They might be, they might have had a bad day. You know, you might be shocked to find.
You see, I don't go for that. I think that you can size up a person in like 5 seconds, and most people do. You know, you have a first impression of someone. And if I'm not feeling comfortable with them or some kind of an attraction, I'm not going to give him another chance. Yeah. You know, it's just a waste of time.
I see both sides of the thing, but I would be more into
speed
dating. Like one of those little things where you just get to sit down and you're like, okay, give me 5 minutes. Okay, sell yourself in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, next.
Well, I think the whole dating thing is weird, and it's a very... I have formerly been a serial monogamist. I had a boyfriend from the time I was 17 until I was 28. I wasn't single ever. I would go from one boyfriend to the next.
Me too.
I'm really good at getting... If I wanted to get a boyfriend, I could get one like that.
Mm.
But I am at a point in my life where I'm like, I don't want to just get a boyfriend so that I have a boyfriend.
Right.
I want to find...
A companion.
Deep love, you know?
Yeah.
So...
And if you found the right one, are you getting are you ready to get married and stuff?
No, I don't know about that. Huh? Yeah. You know what? I
Do you ever want to?
I don't know.
No, huh?
I don't.
You're very independent.
That's the thing. If I could get married, I have a romantic idea that I don't know if it's possible. I would love to be married to somebody who understands my independence, who is that strange combination of as loyal. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times when I find people who are really as independent as me, it's also equals like dating other people.
Mm.
So I would love to have like a true companionship, but it would be, I mean, I need somebody to walk side by side, and I'm a wild card.
Yeah.
You see,
and that's the thing, is you need someone who feels the same way as you. You need someone who's independent, who is also into like their own time, but also into being with you, you know?
Right.
So it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be like they're dating other people.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would prefer that they not date other people. Because, you know, I have an idea that it would be great to have
a one-on-one exclusive relationship.
But, I mean,
I kind of think part of what happened is I played house last week. One of my dearest friends has a 14-year-old, and she's a great kid, and I love this kid. But they went out, the parents went out of the country, and I stayed with her for the week. And it was exhausting because in addition to my own job and all of my other projects, I also was getting up at 6 to bring her to school, and I was helping
make lunch and cook dinner.
Yeah, and like even just the emotional aspect of, you know, being 14, and she likes this boy, and what the boy didn't go to the group movie date they were all going on, and she was so heartbroken. And I mean, it was like I rode every wave with her, and I was like, I'm exhausted. I have to say kudos to parents because that's wow. I don't know if I'm cut out for that.
No, huh? But I mean, what happens later in life? You know, you have nobody. You know,
that's true.
And it's nice to have kids taking care of you, coming to visit you and stuff. It's like you you reap what you sow, you know, when
that's
they grow up.
True.
You know?
Well, one of my friends says, well, what are you waiting for? Like, what do you think when you're 40, you're going to feel the same way when you're 30? She's like, no, don't wait for life. Have your life now. And so that's why I think, well, my body is telling me, you want babies. Because every time I see babies, I'm like, I just want to eat you up. La, 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 la.
You know? That's why I'm a nanny.
Right.
She gets it out of her system.
Birth control.
Yes. But I get to give the kids back. You know, I have so much fun with them all day. And then I'm like, okay, here you go, parents.
Right.
By the way, we had a ton of sugar.
No, yeah.
They're going to be bouncing off. I'm just kidding if the moms are listening.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, Susie likes kids. So, yeah, Susie, you see yourself being married in a few years and stuff?
Whether I'm married or not, I don't know. If I can't find the right husband, I'll get a sperm donor. I don't care.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
well,
I'm not opposed to that, you know? To being married.
Yeah. You know what? Why I'm opposed to that? Because that neglects the kid. You know, I mean, you bring it into the world a kid that has no father, okay, per se. And so, I mean, doesn't a kid deserve to have both parents, you know? So I think it's a selfish thing for women to do that. And I've met a couple of them that have done this. And, you know, I think it's a dysfunctional relationship between the mother and the kid. Sorry about that, but let me just finish. That, yeah, you know, I've seen it. It's dysfunctional. It's not healthy. The way they're like up each other's ass all the time, you know, and that happens when you can't share the duties with the father.
Well, I was also going to say, too, sometimes you might not. I mean, sometimes a parent isn't present because of other circumstances, too.
That's true. But let's say
and
you
so
can't help it.
So long as you have
it.
A parent that loves you and that, you know, is like going to be there and be an awesome parent, I don't think that is a very selfish thing. Mm. You know, I think if you're bringing a kid into the world, or say I don't even get a sperm donor, say I just get pregnant. You know, because I, you know, I personally am pro-life for myself and I would not have an abortion.
Right.
And, you know, maybe the kid will have a father. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying I'm ready to be a mother at some point in my life, and I will do it at whatever cost.
Yeah.
Well, I will say too that, you know, growing up my dad was sort of like I said, he was the football coach, and he was like kind of a father figure to a lot of kids that didn't have father figures, whether the father wasn't in the house or just wasn't present.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Right.
So I feel like our cousins lived with us and my dad became like a father figure to them, and so I think that you can find ways I think I'm with you. I do think a father figure is important, but sometimes you do have to find alternative ways to get that.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't know.
And
I
there's
just,
so
I,
many different untraditional ways. You know, right now, like, what about having two moms or like, you know, two lesbians?
No, I know. Well,
you're
I
opposed to that too. Then
Look, I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed, but I don't think it's a good thing. I really don't.
So
you know?
two gay men that just really love each other and want to have a family and they adopt a kid, you think that's wrong because they don't have a mother?
I think it's going to affect the kid.
Well, obviously it's going to affect the kid. You think just being a kid is easy? No, like every little affects children.
Of course, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's one more thing that's going to
What about
to
parents
really...
that get divorced and the parents like disappear? Kids just are kids
no,
from
that's
the start
true.
Are
that's
just
true.
Fucked. They've got fucked up relationships
but all
coming.
I'm saying
They're
is
up in their whole
you,
life.
Yes, but what I'm saying is when you plan it,
right.
You know, because you're talking about things that happened that you couldn't help, you know, but if you can
You could
help
absolutely
it,
help getting a divorce or doing things like that. You could choose to, you know, live your life differently.
No, absolutely. But here you're actually consciously deciding to bring a kid into the world that does not have a father. I think it's unethical. That's
you know,
my,
maybe
my,
I would move
point.
Back to New York. Maybe the kid would grow up with me and my family and my grandparents and my, you know, and my parents. And
yeah,
you know,
but shouldn't he have the choice? You know what I'm saying?
It's a kid. Kids don't have any choice.
No, that's true. But when he grows up and he, you know, and he does
understand. Maybe when he grows up, I will have met a person, and I will have been married at that point, and I will have had another husband.
Yeah, but it's a lot of maybes, Susie. It's a lot of maybes. I don't know.
There are no certainties out there at all, though.
Of course.
I dated a boy who had a single mom who ended up marrying another man, and the stepfather ended up being very abusive, but he's never been able to connect with other men, and he has real problems with authority. Mm. Sort of the only man he's ever been able to connect with was my dad, and when we broke up, it was heartbreaking for my ex-boyfriend and my dad
because
he lost the only father figure he'd ever had.
Oh, wow.
And he doesn't have, you know, I still hear from time to time, he still doesn't have really healthy, functional male relationships, which is really fascinating to me because it wasn't set up for him in his in nature and nurture. I don't know, you know, how all of that works exactly, but I know that he definitely has a big chip on his shoulder because of it, and it really prevents him from being able to have male friends and dealing with authority, which, let me tell you, sometimes can be a little bit I was always doing damage
for
control
everyone.
right but I can kind of see, it's like, it's interesting because I can see all arguments.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, if you're planning on having children, you want to plan the very best that you can. You always want to do the very best and give them as many options and choices and beautiful possibilities as possible.
Right.
Sure.
I just think that approach
saying
that by women.
I'm not saying that's the ideal approach for me. All I'm saying is that I know I was cut out to be a mother, and if I do not find a mate in a timely fashion, that's
you
the
know
option.
That you will. I mean, you meet so
but
many people.
But if I don't, I've got to keep another option open, Sam. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I can't, you know, you can't convince me about it. I mean, I'm all for your freedom to do whatever you want, but I wouldn't recommend it for people. You know, that's just it. And I think, in fact, I think there is a little bit of arrogance there for a woman to assume it's okay to bring a kid up without a father. You know, it's like, give the kid an opportunity, the chance to have both, because this is what society is about.
Sam,
if
I can, I will. But I'm telling you, if I can't, I will do it anyway.
You'll still bring a kid to the world.
Yes. Well, I think
no. I know you will. I'm
or
just
I'll, saying. Or I will adopt a kid on my own. You know, I will do something if I do not find a mate. So
I think a lot of what we're talking about too is like we've turned so far away from the biological aspect of gender roles, and I don't need hate mail, but there's a reason that women are made a certain way and men are made a certain way, and I think that it might be possible that it's time to explore the beauty of that. And I in no way mean defining gender defines your role in life as much as, why not embrace the beautiful part of what it means to have a father, what it means to be a father, what it means to be a woman, what it means to, you know, if that's your choice to have children, why not enjoy the true nature of who you are as a woman, the true nature of who you are as a man, which, of course, each of you are. So I'm sort of preaching to the choir.
Are we, Susie?
Well, I guess it appears to me that you are. But
you can't see what's going on in the studio, but let me tell you, I can. Yeah. I've got my secret camera here. Pictures at 11.
Don't believe a word she says. Yeah, you can't let out the secret here. You know, people can't see us.
I'm building the secret.
Yeah. I have no pants on.
Now, getting to more important things.
Yes.
Susie, would you agree she's got boobs about the size as yours? Pretty much?
Well, I think she's wearing a bra. I think hers might be a little bigger.
Mm.
Oh, really?
I am wearing a bra. It's true.
But do you ever not wear a bra?
Sometimes. It depends on what I'm wearing. But I happen to have a little... One of my other addictions is vintage underwear. Vintage and vintage-looking underwear. And underwear in general.
I was
going to
say vintage underwear or vintage-looking.
Vintage-looking.
Other people's dirty underwear? Uh-uh.
No, not like other people's dirty underwear. But, like, actually, I do have a few really beautiful sort of corsets and bras from brassieres from, like, the 1930s and 40s that I've not worn because I know the minute I wear them, they'll fall apart. But, you know, I think a lot of that came from doing burlesque and having a love for vintage. I have so many amazing vintage pieces. When I used to be in a band and I used to tour, I would stop at vintage shops all over the world and I picked up amazing things. So I actually love bras and I love panties. So I think
I love them
sexy.
Too.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure
I love taking them off. Yeah.
Right? So I rarely go without a bra. Just only if the shirt asks for it. But
yeah.
The shirt asks for it.
Well, you're asking for it, shirt.
Do you really want this? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Don't.
Yeah. Susie seems to have shirts that all seem to be asking for it.
For no bra.
For no bra,
yes,
I mean.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
They just don't really fit me right. I hate them.
You hate bras?
Yeah, they really don't fit me right. Like, I've got a very wide rib cage.
Me too.
And kind of... So I don't know. It's like I'm a 36 around, but then it's like I'm an A cup kind of slash B cup sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... it always feels like it's going to like slip and fall off, and then pull, like the boot or the boob part will like come up
wired, or maybe you just need a really structured bra.
I mean, but why do I need one?
Oh, you don't need one.
Because like they can't, like they really don't fit me, like, and I really don't think I need that much structure.
Okay.
I mean, there's really not that much going on here.
No, then I was going to say, then, yeah, I would say then don't do it, because I wear them because I love them.
Yeah.
Also, I have a really big rib cage. I think that's from singing opera and expanding.
Oh, really?
And, you know, because I studied voice all my life. Mm-hmm. So actually, a lot of times my boobs actually appear bigger than they even are. Mm. When I'm wearing like dresses and things like that, I have an hourglass, like truly an hourglass figure. Mm-hmm. And so I always like to play that up.
Yeah,
that's as cool. much as possible.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Susie never wears bra. Mm-hmm. And she,
do you?
And
she I'm makes, just kidding.
Now, sometimes I do,
yeah, right,
when nobody's looking. but yeah, and she likes to drive guys crazy with her protruding nipples. I mean, mm-hmm. she doesn't hide that fact.
That's wonderful. So
Thank you.
She's proud of her femininity.
I love that. Why not?
Yeah. And Aaron, so how long has it been since you were in a relationship?
Oh, in a relationship?
He wants to know when the last time you had sex is.
Yeah, actually, okay, that's what I meant.
Okay.
No, because she said she's a relationship type of a person, so I thought last time she had sex was with a boyfriend or something.
Well, the last time I had sex, I had a lover in August. I haven't had a relationship in... December 2006... So it's been a very long time since I've been in a relationship.
Yeah.
I did have a lover. It was like a love affair. It was certainly not boyfriend material, mm-hmm. Certainly not relationship material, and certainly not casual.
Right.
Somewhere
so
in between.
So more than a booty call, but less than a boyfriend.
Passion. It was passionate. And also, he didn't live here. We met, and we had sort of gone on a few dates because he lived somewhere else. And... I would periodically travel and see him for like 3 days, and it would be this amazing like affair, basically.
Right. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and then, you know, the last time I saw him, I decided it would be the last time because I wanted a relationship, and I thought, well, I'm becoming really attached, and he's really not relationship material, even though he's a wonderful man.
Right.
So I sort of unofficially called it off, and I haven't heard from him either, so I'm like, okay.
Okay. All right, yeah. So it's been since August then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God, you gotta be fucking horny as hell.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Wow.
I really am. My biological clock is like, what are you doing? And I'm like, you know what? I don't, like, this was the conversation last night. While I'm horny as hell, I don't need just any old experience.
Right,
I only
right.
want beauty and passion and something worth my time.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it wouldn't be worth my time. Obviously, if I was there, I want to do it. But I haven't met somebody that I have had that with.
Mm.
So. She's very evolved.
Very evolved, yeah. But I'd still do you in a second.
All right. Woo! Right. No matter how evolved a
person's
mind can be.
I think that's sexual harassment in the workplace.
I'm okay with it.
On the radio, there's no such thing.
Like, well, you're not actually paying me, so.
Yeah, exactly. She's not an employee. I'm not in a powerful position. Fuck it.
Yes.
Well, we're going to have to find you someone. I'm sure with your show, you'll be able to find someone.
I hope he's beautiful, tall, dreamy, romantic, successful, passionate about his life.
Tell us what you really want. Yeah,
exactly. That's what they all say.
Well, I mean it, man. Yeah. Actually, you know what?
Isn't that expecting too much? I mean, it would be so hard for you to find someone.
Why not
like
set the bar high?
I set the bar high, and I've dated amazing men in my life. Mm. And it's not they don't look alike. They don't even have the same job. I've dated, like I said, I dated an international businessman, this corporate guy. He's like brilliant. He's from Europe, and he spoke four languages. He had his PhD and his MBA, and he was this, like, when we met, he was the COO of this company, and then he became the CEO of his own company, international, like he's a globalization guy. Before him, I dated the drummer of my rock band, who was an amazing musician and passionate, you know what I mean? And it's been like different, what they all share is they're all very passionate, driven, and talented. And that is what attracts me.
I see. Mm-hmm. That's what turns
anything.
You on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, women are weird that way, you know?
Yeah, we're strange.
I mean, give us any body part, we're fine, you know? But with you guys, it's so fucking complicated.
I'll give you an elbow.
Just like your orgasms, they're so fucking complicated, you know? Just fucking come, you know?
Oh, no. I think I deserve all the time that it takes because it's about enjoying my body.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no argument there, you know?
Yeah. And I'll apparently, you know,
she's already caressing herself.
Cross my legs. I'm beginning to. I am. I'm like, I deserve to cross my legs 15 times.
I just want a shovel.
What a bunch of weirdos.
We are.
Wow, so this is amazing. So what do you do now, Aaron, for what do you do with your time?
Well,
I mean, you said you were a comedian, right? Are you still a comic?
I do stand-up comedy. I do sometimes.
It's, do people always tell you when they hear that, like, tell me something funny?
Yeah, and it's funny because it doesn't, like, when stand-up is a weird animal, it doesn't exactly work that way. Like, the jokes that I have will work in a crowd of drunk people.
Oh.
You know, but I'll be funny off the cuff, but, like, to tell a joke, my jokes are like, you know, I'm almost doing, like, mini storytelling when I tell jokes.
Yeah, yeah. There's a setup and everything
for
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, I mean, I've done a lot of improv, and I'm an actress, and I'm a writer, and I'm a musician.
I've got a joke for you.
Yes, tell me.
What's better than roses on your piano?
What?
Tulips on your organ.
Waka, waka, waka.
That's a stupid but funny joke.
I told that joke the other day. We had two musicians in. They came up from one from San Diego. But they were very, very, very cerebral, but like, and very artistic, which is very, very into each other and their music.
Mm-hmm.
To the point of where Sam and I were like, hello. We want to talk about sex. Like, when was the last time you were fucked? But so, like, I was trying to be like, all right, I'm trying to make them laugh. And so I told them that joke, and they kind of were like,
okay. Like, I thought they liked it, Susie.
Well, I thought they were both just kind of like horrified. I was like, my mom told me that joke, and they're like, your mother told you that joke.
I think sometimes people who are supremely cerebral, like, there's like two varieties. Either A, they're the people who like have no sense of humor, or I would like to point out that I dated a German, and Germans are some of the smartest, most brilliant, intellectual people in the world.
Right.
And one of the number, like, their favorite TV shows are things like Baywatch and Benny Hill. Always be like, Frank, I don't get it. Like, you are the people who produce Beethoven and Goethe and Mercedes-Benz. Like, what is wrong with you? Benny Hill, really? Baywatch, really? Like, David Hasselhoff, really? And he was like, I don't know.
Sometimes, like, you just need to, like, turn your mind off and watch, like, you know, just pure filth.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, it's like, I go all day, and, like, the only thing that really gets me through most of my days is knowing that when I get home and I put my head on my pillow, I hold my laptop and I fall asleep to The Young and the Restless.
Wow.
And I wake up every morning and, like, you know, Victor Newman is staring back at me with his big mustache. Yes. That's the theme song. And I'm telling you, it's like, thank goodness for the little things. And it's like, I know I can predict what's going to happen, and it's so dumb and it's so mindless, but it's like, I just need that.
I just need
to turn off my head.
I hear you. I actually have a strange pleasure, which is cleaning house. And it's the same thing. I love to clean my house. I'm not saying I'm good at it, but I love it.
That's ironic, because I have a love for someone cleaning my house.
Oh, it's a match made in heaven.
There you go, you know.
That's
amazing, though.
I had a really, like, when I took a pole dancing class for my episode tomorrow.
S Factor?
Not S Factor, but B-Spun, which is a similar.
I'm asking for S Factor classes for Christmas.
You should. They're wonderful. Yeah. They're amazing, but I'll tell you what, like, for me, it was, I ran the gamut of emotions and emotional experience. And when I came home, I was so overloaded, I scrubbed the kitchen floor, because that's what I had to do to come down.
Really?
And to, like something so mindless and yet sort of particular. You know, I was getting into the grooves of the kitchen floor and stuff. It was just such a stress relief. It was like, I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to me that I love it.
And I'm the same way with weeding a garden. Like, if I've had, like, a rough day, I love to come home and, like, just weed a garden.
Yeah.
And then just, like, plant pretty flowers. Then it's just like,
so satisfying.
Yeah.
That's cool. We used to do that in school when I was young, is plant vegetables and shit like that, you know? It was pretty cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I grew up with a huge garden in our backyard.
Really?
Oh, my God. There's nothing better than a tomato right from the vine.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Or raspberries.
Raspberries.
Like,
yeah.
We used to have raspberries on our farm.
Yep. I love it.
Peaches.
I know. We never had peaches because it was Minnesota, but we had a lot of other. We had a pumpkin patch, and we would have so many pumpkins, we would sell them to all the local neighborhood kids at Halloween. And we had raspberry bushes, and I lived right next to this huge forest, and there would be, in addition to the raspberry bushes lining our huge, huge garden,
mulberries.
We also had, not mulberries, but there were wild raspberries, strawberries, and blueberries in the forest.
That's amazing.
It was awesome.
I know, I'd love to live like that. You know, I mean, here we live all with concrete and asphalt and shit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
but
give me a forest.
But you don't want to shovel the snow.
No.
Yeah, it's a trade-off.
Yeah, I suppose it is. But if you live in the forest, you don't really have to.
Well, my parents' house is incredible. It's set up back. It's in the country. It's set back from the sort of main road. You have to drive down this little winding road. They have a flower garden in the front yard that's designed to attract hummingbirds, so that when they're washing dishes in their house, hummingbirds come up to the garden in front of their windows. They have deer, wild turkeys, owls. They have the same owls and the same hawks come every year and stay at their house. So it's like a long-term relationship.
Wow, this is amazing.
They have amazing wild animals like bunny rabbits and squirrels and birds and amazing animals coming through. And like one of the most... This is, like, so geeky, but one of the things I love to do is get up early with my dad, sit in the sunroom, and watch the animals walk by.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. It's amazing.
My grandparents in New York do the same thing. Like, every morning, like, when I'm home, I'll get a phone call, like, Susie, oh, my God, the turkeys are at the pond.
Yeah.
Oh, Susie, oh, my gosh, you've got to come and look at the footprints. And, like, you look at all the footprints in the snow.
It's awesome.
It really is. You don't even need a TV when you've got nature like that to watch.
No, you can go outside and have your apple, and the deer will, not all, but some deer will come right up to you and eat the apple right out of your hand.
Wow.
It's like...
You don't have any elephants, though. No elephants in the forest.
In Minnesota, we've only got the big pink ones in the living room nobody wants to talk about.
I'm going
to
say it again. Somebody take the buttons away from him.
I tell you what, you haven't lived in like the LA traffic thing. All the time I spent in India, you don't know a traffic jam until you've been in a traffic jam caused by cows and elephants.
Wow. I know, I can't
imagine. I've been in one caused by sheep in like Wyoming once upon a time.
Yeah.
I was so late for an appointment, and then all of a sudden I was on this road, and like there were a couple sheep, and I stopped, and next thing you know there were like hundreds of sheep and like swallowing my car. And I mean, I was so annoyed, and I was beeping and beeping, and I got out and I tried to open the door, and and I'm like trying to shoo them away, and eventually I just, you know, I closed my door, I got back in my car, you know, I turned on the radio, and I was like, fuck it, what can I do? Like,
nothing.
So I'm just like taking pictures of all the sheep, but it's like I'm just going to laugh at the situation because there's nothing else that can really do. Yeah.
How very zen of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You surrendered to the moment.
But elephants causing the traffic, that would be kind of fun.
It was actually really cool. I was in New Delhi the day the Olympic torch was running through. So there was no, I mean, it literally took us probably an hour to get about 30 feet in our taxi from the airport to where the hotel was. We all got out and walked.
Yeah,
I was
going to
say, why didn't you get out and walk?
Might as well.
But I mean, it's amazing to be like in the middle of an extremely urban, well, it was on the outskirts of Delhi where the traffic jam was, where there were cows and elephants and...
Careful banging, Sam.
Oh, thank you. That's right. Banging. I forget. I just get so passionate about my experience of life.
Air talk.
Yeah,
air talk.
I'm air talking.
Yes.
But it was kind of like we were all sitting there in this jam and, you know, you kind of wonder what's going on because it's not like you're listening to the radio hearing on the 101, Sig Alert. And eventually when you get up there and you see that it's freaking elephants, you're like, what? Oh my God, elephants, really? And then it's kind of like, cool.
Yeah. Did you like India?
I loved India.
Really?
It wasn't always easy.
Yeah.
But it really changed my life.
Really?
How was the food?
At some places it was awesome, some places it was awful. I got sick while I was there. I got sick a couple times, but
so you said you were at an ashram?
I went to an ashram.
Really?
I went with a teacher specifically.
Is that the
for
kind where they have a lot of sex, group sex and shit?
You know, I missed out on that part
you
of the
did,
ashram.
Huh?
Yeah.
God damn it.
There are ashrams like that though. Yeah. You know, so if you find one,
yeah, we'll let you know about it.
Right. And
but
the
I'm
guru has
the
to
way.
Be tall and dreamy and passionate. No,
I think there's one in Malibu that might be like that actually.
Yeah. Really? Which one?
Yeah. I don't know, but I saw it on my soap opera.
Okay, very cool.
So it must be true.
Well, that's actually one of my jokes in my stand up, which is like, you know, like when you join an ashram and you're doing this chanting over and over and over again, you do start to wonder if you've joined a cult. And the way my mind works, I'm like, oh my God, I've joined a sex cult.
Yeah.
I've joined a sex cult. Well, if I've joined a sex cult, I'm going to go sit by the hot guy.
There you go. She got
if
it
I
all
have
figured
to do
out.
It.
I accidentally almost joined the Raelians.
What's that?
Sam and I did this march for National Go Topless Day from Santa Monica to Venice.
All right.
All along the boardwalk, you know, it was a whole bunch of topless chicks and a whole bunch of, like, lecherous men that were, you know, staring at the topless chicks.
Yeah, like me and my son.
But, yes. But so I show up, and I was wearing a white skirt, and I literally didn't even think about it. I just put on this white, like, flowing skirt. And so I get there, and all the other women that were part of the group were wearing white skirts. But then I noticed that they also were wearing a Star of David with a swastika in it. And so I was kind of like, oh, what's this? And my boyfriend was like,
Susie, he's like, oh my God, run. They're aliens. And I was like, what's that mean?
Yeah, well, they said that they were. He didn't know what they were in the beginning, remember?
He knew what they were a little bit.
Okay.
He knew enough to know that he's like, oh my God, run the other way. It was like this weird sex cult.
Yeah, they're a cult. They're a cult. And they were in the news a few years ago about something that happened. I don't know. I think there was a murder in Canada or something like that. I don't know. But they were weird. They're fucking weird.
Are they, like, I'm always fascinated.
They believe in, like, alien gods and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, based on Ra, who was an Egyptian...
the sun god.
And Sam, all that bullshit.
I hate to be a ball buster, but time, we've got to wrap this up.
I know.
She has to get on the road like 5 minutes ago.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate you watching the time on my behalf.
Erin, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
And let's remind everybody, Erin is going to have a show tomorrow, Saturday at 1 o'clock, 1 p.m.
Pacific time.
And it's called Wide Open.
It's called Wide Open.
And I'm wide open to anything you say.
All right.
Yeah. Me too.
And Susie, thank you so much.
I'm off to Vegas.
You're off to Vegas.
Yes, yes.
Enjoy.
Thank you, I will.
I love Vegas. The people watching. Oh my God.
There's good people watching.
And the gambling. I love craps.
I love craps too.
Okay, so we're going to get some Vegas stories here on Monday.
Yes, yes.
And Erin, good luck to you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, everyone. And we'll be right back here on Monday.
Bye. Ciao.